Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Today, August 4, we celebrate the Navajo Code Talkers of World War II. You see the movie Wind Talkers, it's very interesting. Also today, we celebrate the anniversary of Kamala's most famous quote, one of the very few original things she's ever said when explaining her opposition to a court order to release nonviolent offenders from prison. She said, and I quote, "Prisons would lose an important labor pool." But when it comes to violent criminals, she seems to have a soft spot in her heart because she promoted and has donated to a fund, well, that at least ended up being used to provide bail money to violent BLM Antifa protesters. She has said nothing about it. This just in. Stacey Abrams refuses to concede the VP slot and is preparing to debate Mike Pence. Thank you, Juanita Broderick. The tyrants are rising like Decepticons. The more you resist, the tighter they squeeze. They work in teams, you know. One is the Newsom Garcetti California team, and the other is the Cuomo de Blasio New York team, creating a culture of state control, preparing us for a life under communism. Judicial Watch is on the job. California, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, and Pennsylvania have been ordered to clean up their voter rolls. But will they win on the ground in these states and elsewhere? Are whites privileged because of their color? Or are blacks given special privileges and passes for criminal behavior because of their color? Watch and pray. We've got to watch and pray about voter fraud, the speech suppression of social media, the overt oppression of Trump supporters. We are in the midst of a Bolshevik revolution, my friends. Prepare for civil war. I mean it, actually. Get ready. Stock up supplies as best you can. Get the 25-year food bucket stored up. Get armed and ready. Not to attack, of course, but to defend. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The Democrat Decepticons are coming with fury. The more you resist, the tighter they'll squeeze. The 15 days to flatten the curve has become the perpetual pandemic. Well, at least according to Biden, until the election. They'll let us take the masks off then. After the election. Yeah, Biden called for 3 more months of making Americans wear masks, you know, which is kind of symbolic of their effort to suppress free speech, to depress the voters. The voters were just way too happy under Trump's booming economy with one victory after another, one promise made and promise kept after another. Can't let that train get rolling again. Gotta stop that. You gotta hand it to the Dems, my friend. When it comes to spreading misery all around, there are none better. Watched an interview with Dinesh on the Candace show on her thing she does there with PragerU. Dinesh is a brilliant analyst. Candace reminded us of what Thatcher said about the difference between socialism and communism. Socialism is suicide and communism is homicide. Very clever. She then threw the question to Dinesh, and I thought he offered a brilliant analysis, and I want to look at it and make a point from it. He said socialism is an economic system and communism is a political one. He pointed out that the old Soviet Socialist Republic was communism politically with a socialist economic system, and that would be the normal development, socialism to communism, or communism with socialism. The old Soviets believed that they would conquer America by feeding us small doses of socialism until we woke to realize we had become communists. But the Soviet Empire crumbled under socialism because, as Thatcher said, it's great until you run out of everybody else's money, as California and New York are realizing Trump, please don't bail out these bankrupt states with their bankrupt policies. The more recent example being Venezuela, Dinesh, I think, astutely observed that Russia is neither socialist nor communist. Rather, it's a sort of gangster capitalism. China followed Russia into socialist communism back when Mao decided to kill everybody that had the ability to think, to speak, and to write, that had any sort of individualism about them, because, you know, those sorts of people are very dangerous to dictators. However, China's rulers are much more pragmatic than they were in Russia, and they could see that socialism really doesn't work. So they've created a sort of capitalist communism. They are benefiting from the energy and productivity that capitalism provides economically, while maintaining strict control over the people politically. Dinesh observed that they have struck a sort of deal with the people that says, effectively, you can earn money and enjoy the fruit of your labor and so on, so long as you remember to keep quiet about anything like individual liberty or rights and stuff. You know, Marx, as many of my listeners know, taught that history would naturally move the entire world toward Marxism. That was his vision, which is anti-God communism. But Marx hated capitalism. There's just too much faith involved in that. Anyway, the left are Marxist, and they have come to realize that the proletariat, or the working class, will not rise up against their bourgeois masters, because in a free market capitalist society, the business owners must compete for labor and customers. And so they've got to behave themselves in the marketplace. In the main, the workers are content. They can see opportunity and freedom to improve their situation in life. Dinesh is right when he observed that the American Marxist realized a while back they're never going to gain control of America if they wait for a Bolshevik revolution to spontaneously erupt. So they were going to have to help it along. So they began fomenting racial unrest. They created an underclass, government-dependent class, and worked to manipulate them into blaming all Christian conservative white people for their misery. Wherever they gained power, they advanced policies that were calculated to keep them miserable and oppressed, bribed certain leaders among them, like Jesse High Jackson, thank you, Savage, and old Sharp Tongue, and several others who sold out to the Democrat slave owners of yore, and for hire, these traitors delivered their people, the black vote, to these liberal Democrats who view the black community as if they're property owned by them, like they bought them, like they owned them. Getting these Democrats into power only allowed them to increase their misery and continue their brainwashing scheme to get them to believe the whites who never owned slaves, the whites who never imagined them to be their property, the whites who, well, the Lincoln whites, you know, who paid reparations with their own blood, right, that they didn't even owe in the fields of places like Gettysburg, only today to have some devilish fella by the name of Rob Reiner say Gettysburg is a site to celebrate devotion to white supremacy. Remember his words, O Lord. Remember his blasphemy against the bloodshed to free slaves. The only people who talk white supremacy are those that believe in it. And more on that in a moment. So the liberals gave up on Marx's theory that the natural evolution of history would lead everyone toward Marxism or communism, and they decided to take things into their own hands. You know, picking up a cue from FDR, who used the Great Depression to great advantage to advance his socialist agenda. Using disaster to advance Marxism seemed to be a more effective plan. So in the 70s, Americans were terrified by constant fears, beating the drum, the world is running out of food, it's unsustainable, we must depopulate the planet. Right about the time abortion came along, you know, and in the 80s, the left spread fear of nuclear apocalypse. And in the 90s, the ozone was depleting and mankind was about to be irradiated from the earth. And anyone spreading chlorofluorocarbons into the air was a rascal. And over the last 20 years, we've been terrorized by global freezing, then global warming, and then finally they gave up on that and went with climate change and told us that all the carbon emissions we're expelling into the air is going to kill us. You know, even when we breathe, we're pushing this feeble, delicate thing called Earth to the point of crisis and collapse, and it will not sustain human life unless we all become slaves to the state and don't fly our jets or drive our cars. But of course, we've got to understand that that doesn't apply to the elite. Well, they've got to have their jet planes and automobiles and stuff because, well, they're the special people that's got to go running about saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and governing our lives and living off of our backs and making sure we don't put our hands on the resources of the earth without their permission and supervision. In every crisis, we're told that unless we surrender our way of life to the control of liberals, unless we surrender our liberties, our freedoms, and control over the decisions we make about where we live, how we live, and so on, and trust our liberties into the hands of an elite group of persons who, oddly, are always those who hate God, deny the Creator, have no respect for the inalienable rights of mankind that God has endowed to us. You know, and then comes the corona, the crowning crisis, just in time to derail the most vibrant economy America or the world has ever seen, under a president who has literally kept every promise he made and acknowledges God openly in Christ Jesus and faith and the church and the Bible. And they're going stark raving mad about this. Of course, I'm elaborating on my report of the interview with Dinesh. He didn't say all this. But there is something he noted here that I have also seen develop among liberals and discerned is the method to what otherwise appears to be utter madness. The idea that people driven by fear begin to run in packs when masses of people can be manipulated to have a common fear together, they'll begin acting irrationally and behaving erratically, they'll submit to irrationality, they won't really think things through, they'll just act emotionally and with the herd. Yeah, and I thought, yeah, that's exactly what I've been saying. They're trying to drive the people like a herd, you know, shoot the gun or crack the whip, startle a few, the cows begin running wildly. Then crack the whip and fire the gun again, another group. Pretty soon, you got the entire herd moving and acting together. You see, the reason our handlers have avoided herd immunity with regard to this COVID thing is because what they want is herd mentality. And unbelieving America is acting in herd mentality. Really? Pretty much the only people bucking this are people of faith. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Pay attention. You know, you crack the whip at them and they look at you and say, excuse me, your whip doesn't scare me. I can see that you're manipulating the numbers and creating a false narrative with this COVID thing. You fire your shot and the Christian looks at them and says, what's that for? You're not fooling me. You let casinos operate at 50% capacity of their facilities and then tell us we can't have our churches opened at all. Walmart is essential, but the smaller stores can't be trusted to remain open and churches must close. We can walk into a Starbucks, for example, follow their green lines on the floor, stand in our little boxes carefully set 6 foot for one another. I think it's really very cute. Stand at the counter with a plastic shield between us and the teller, make our order through our mask, which mumbling, you know, pay with our card, even sign the receipt in some cases, and then step over to the end of the counter, receive our order, and then walk out the other door. You can't walk into a polling station, follow some arrows taped on the floor or direction signs, stop at a table talking to somebody separated by a clear plastic shield and covered with their mask while you, in your mask, receive your ballot, enter the booth, which is already about 6 foot apart from any other booth, and you make your selections, you drop your ballot into the box and depart carefully following the arrows. And okay, go ahead and wear gloves then too. You can throw that in there. That's fine. But Fauci has said he sees no problem opening the polling booths on November 3rd. He's only worried about making everybody take his vaccination, you know. But Mr. Americans don't need to wear masks, and now not only should we wear masks, but goggles too. Can't be depended upon. Hey, what do you think about this? I've noticed that the people who are constantly talking about white supremacy are the people who have a history of believing it or practicing it, along with the people they duped into their control to live in the memory of it. The Democrats have a history of believing and practicing white supremacy. They were the slave party, while the white Republicans hated slavery and stood against it. The Democrat South were loath to give up Jim Crow. They hated the civil rights movement and fought against it. The white Republicans were in favor of abolishing the Jim Crow Democrat laws and recognizing the inalienable rights of all Americans. The Democrats have traditionally favored the advancement of the white people, keeping the black communities impoverished, underemployed, undereducated. I mean, Biden opposed allowing black children to attend white schools. He did not want the school his children attended to turn into a what he called a, quote, racial jungle, end quote. Kamala comes from a family of slave owners. Someone figure this out for me. What is going on here? Trump leads an economy that raises employment for the blacks, really for all minorities and all of us, to unprecedented levels. Obama Biden drove everyone into misery, especially the black communities. Why do so many blacks today continue supporting white liberals who have a history of slave ownership and abuse of black people? You know, unless they actually believe in white supremacy. Do they? The Dems who act like they own them and the blacks who act like they are owned by them. I never think about white supremacy. The only time it comes up is either in a story about some white supremacist group, which I disdain and loathe, or from white and black Democrats. Yeah, the blacks who truly see themselves as equal to whites, they don't talk that way. They hold their heads up and take full advantage of their liberties to make a better life for themselves and their families. Anyway, hold on, my friends. I'll be right back.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer, because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today. Go to www.books@dbp.com. Go to godswar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheibach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. Your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps of the church welfare arch, thinking the enemy's on the march, and the enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I'll have to save my commentary on the other things I intended to talk about today for my comforting counsel for the present distress visit, a Facebook live stream post that I put up every evening except Wednesday and Sunday. I'm sure you want to know what you can do about all this. The Democrats are desperate. They've decided to take America into a dictatorship by force. I mean, they've lost all patience waiting for the suppressed class that they've created to rise up and overthrow our government. So they're going to just make the best of what they've got and go for broke. Well, the fact is, my friends, Christians are going to decide the upcoming election in two ways. First, by prayer and fasting. And second, by getting involved in the arena and swinging the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, against the lies of Satan. Speaking up for common sense and righteousness. I mean, don't let the devils in our midst tell their lies without countering those lies with the truth. And then vote. In my comforting council visits, we're talking about watching and praying, about engaging the enemies of our liberty. So let's take a look at some things that can help you here. Believers are called upon to wrestle against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, principality is a word made by combining the word principle with the suffix ity or itty. The word principle refers to a chief, one who presides, as a prince. The suffix suggests the idea of pertaining to. So a principality is that which pertains to a prince. It's a domain that is governed by a prince. Wherever Messiah the Prince prevails, there is liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But wherever the Spirit of the Prince of the Power of the Air prevails, there is tyranny. There's a great illustration of this in the Bible. In Acts 18-20, Satan held Asia as a mighty stronghold against God, and Paul was not allowed to preach there at first. Later, his power in the gospel apparently increased, and God allowed him to go in. A revival broke out, and all Asia was mightily delivered from the power of Satan. However, within 10 years, two false teachers came in behind Paul and seduced them away from the truth. And Paul complained or lamented, "All Asia be turned away from me." By the time we come to John the Apostle a few decades later, we find that Satan had succeeded to reestablish his throne in Pergamos, which is in Asia, northeast of Ephesus. Today we wrestle against principalities such as these, over which Satan has usurped control through the children of disobedience. And if we will fight the way Paul taught us, we can shift the power from Satan to Christ. But we must be ever watchful against false teachers that will deceive us into yielding the principality back to Satan's control. In our battle against these children of disobedience, we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. The expression high places translates to puranios, epi above, and ranos, heavenly. The high places that God complained against in the Old Testament are in view here. And this is where God's children went to worship him in the manner of the heathen and thereby unwittingly, in some cases, diverted their worship to devils. Undoubtedly, this spiritual wickedness in high places refers to the activity of Satan as the prince of the power of the air. We enter into this battle between devils and angels. And as a matter of fact, believers decide each battle. Believers have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in them, and they are commissioned under the authority of the King of heaven and earth. Believers have been given the church, and to the church has been given the keys of the kingdom. We are joint heirs with Christ over the kingdom, and we have the power of the Holy Ghost upon us. The power is on our side. That's power as in exousia, the authority, and power as in dunamis, the divine energy or might of God. The principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world have been spoiled, defeated. And we have power over the spiritual wickedness in high places. Indeed, we are the only beings on the planet that can resist the devil and compel him to flee. The word resist, by the way, is not a passive term. It's active. We stand against him. We oppose him. And when we do, he backs off. The angels of God depend on us to resist. We must stand up to the nonsense going on in our cities by these children of disobedience and their attempt at a violent overthrow of our nation under God. And if we stand, the devils behind them will retreat, and these folks will melt away like the snowflakes that they are. But the question is, will the children of God exercise their authority in the kingdom of heaven over the kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of men? Or will they yield the kingdoms of men to the control of Satan's children? Most believers today are yielding to Satan by default. A lot of that comes from their false belief that God allows the devil to control the world right now. Well, friend, you look at this more carefully. It's not God who is allowing Satan to control the world. It's foolish, lazy, ignorant, belligerent, world-loving, belly-serving Christians that are doing this, that are giving him place. Those unfaithful servants Jesus complains against. For example, in Luke 19:12-27, the Holy Spirit is present in the hearts of the saints, and he guides them to all truth. Well, Satan cannot long deceive those who hear the shepherd's voice and follow him. That's why Satan and his devils must work to seduce God's people into sin, to dull their understanding, to dull their eyes, and dull their ears. He must at all costs stop the Holy Ghost from moving into this world through Christ's disciples. He must keep Christians intimidated and cowed and busy serving their fleshly appetites. So the status of God's war today is this: Jesus is the King. All mankind are his subjects. He prophesied that his citizens or his subjects would rebel against him while he was gone, and that many of his servants would become lax and unfaithful. And we're watching that right in front of us today. King Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to his churches, establishing their authority in the world under him. He commissioned them to announce that he has risen from the dead, and by his resurrection, he is declared to be the Son of God with power. Having broken the power of Satan over the earth and humankind, he sent us into the world to command all men to repent and believe in him to be saved from the wrath to come. Those nations that receive the gospel and acknowledge Christ as the Son of God and Lord of heaven and earth will be blessed and given the kingdom. Lucifer seduces believers into sin by the lust of the flesh to defile the temple of God, which is the believer's body. Satan knows that his enemy, the Holy Ghost, dwells in the body of the believer and moves into the world through his or her belly. The devil heard Jesus call his disciples the salt of the earth and warned them that if they lose their savor, they would be cast into the street and trampled upon under the foot of men. Well, Satan labors to compromise the believers until they are good for nothing, knowing that God will throw them into the street and allow Satan's children of disobedience to trample them under their feet, and that will get them out of his way. The power will shift from believers to the lovers of darkness. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And according to Paul, Satan takes them captive at his will, and he uses them to frustrate and hinder the work of Christ in the world. So long as the saints are on the earth, they have the power to thwart Satan's plans. The saints can overcome, for they are kings and priests unto God, endowed with power from on high. Fellow saints, we need only stir ourselves in this war, in God's war, and we may be confident of victory. Or I've got to close. In summary, spiritual warfare is the ongoing struggle between the spirit of Jesus Christ through the believer and the spirit of Antichrist through the unbeliever. The objective in this conflict is control over the dominion and the sword, the resources of the earth, and the military might to take and hold those resources. Jesus, who is both God and man, received all power in heaven and in earth. So all the kingdoms of the world with the dominion and the sword are under Jesus' authority in the kingdom of heaven. Satan is the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, and through them, he claims the dominion and the sword rightly belongs to the sinners of Adam's race, the lovers of darkness. Together, they usurp the kingdom by violence and howl against Jesus' right to rule the world. Hence, the lordship of Jesus Christ and his claim that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth is at the heart of this conflict. At this juncture of God's war, the saints call sinners to surrender to Christ. The terms of surrender are as follows: that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Christ's Spirit exerts the authority of the kingdom of God into the world through the children of obedience. Our primary mission is to preach the gospel to every creature in the world, heralding the command of God to repent and believe on Jesus Christ. In no other way can sinners of Adam's race be saved from the wrath to come, the wrath of the Lamb. The spirit of Antichrist, meanwhile, operates in the children of disobedience to resist the preaching of the gospel. Seducing spirits teach doctrines of devils, deceiving the children of obedience and disobedience. And they use these deceptions to commandeer principalities and powers, and to put the Antichrist spirit in control of government in order to block the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, so why does it seem like we're losing? It is because Christians are not engaged in spiritual warfare. And I'm not talking about the kook stuff Satan uses to distract from the real deal. I'm talking about learning how to use your authority in Christ to assault the kingdom of darkness by the power of the kingdom of God and reclaim territory long held by Satan in this nation under God. Anyway, this is an unusual massage, but perhaps you would like to join in the battle for America. Contact me and I'll explain how you can do that. Go to the Facebook page of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and like our page and then set up your notifications to be alerted when we go live. Join our Comfort and Counsel for the Present Distress visits. It's casual, but informative, and join us in our battle for America. My friend, watch and pray. We've got to watch and pray about voter fraud, free speech suppression, the overt oppression of Trump supporters. We are in the midst of a Bolshevik revolution, my friend. Prepare for civil war, and I mean get ready. Stock up supplies as best you can. Get the 25-year food bucket stored up. Get armed and ready, not to attack, but to defend. Okay, I got to go. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. And I apologize, I've had to rush through this, but I'm just running out of time to get this show posted. You can leave a message for me in our Lights On hotline, again, 1-805-314-2114, or go to our website, The Hub, godswar2020.com, and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America, and I'll see you in church.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Dr. Scheidbach is presenting a series of dynamic messages from his newest book, God's War, Sunday evenings, 5 to 6:15 p.m.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
Go to godswar2020.com.